Welcome to the Security in 5 podcast. I'm Drew, the binary blogger. This is a short program that brings you security news, tips, advice, and opinions in the area of information, IT, and general security in about 5 minutes. Quick to listen to, easy to understand. The more aware you are, the more secure you can be. This is Security in 5. Thanks for listening. Episode 392 of Security in 5, and today we're going to talk about passwords. And a few weeks ago, I did a bunch of episodes on tasks and things you should do toward the end of the year. One of those was go through and reset all of your passwords for your personal financials, your work, your junk accounts, whatever. Resetting your passwords changes the targets if you are part of a breach or part of leaked data that you don't know about yet, but moving those passwords around makes your accounts more secure if you do that more frequently. So if you reflect into your corporate or your business life, if they're asking you to reset their passwords every 60 days or 90 days, there's a reason for that. And there's arguments on whether that's effective or not. But at the end of the day, when you pick a new password, being that we are humans, we need to be simple and efficient. We tend to pick passwords that are simple and efficient and not as secure as they could be. So I want to do this episode to give some tips on things to do and things not to do if you are going to be resetting your passwords and doing this manually. Now, I say manually because in the title of the episode, if you're not using a vault, if you're using a password vault such as 1Pass or LastPass or Keep or whatever, the vaults themselves can set very strong passwords for you, and then you use those vaulting technologies, LastPass or 1Pass, to authenticate into the systems on your behalf. So basically single sign-on or single log-on into those applications. Now, when you do that, the passwords can be 20 characters, 30 characters, 40 characters long. It's going to be a jumbled mix of characters and numbers that you don't have to remember because that's what the vault is for. And you can have very, very powerful passwords, and you can have a different password for every application you use and be so complex you don't have to remember them because you're relying on the technology to keep you secure but also to authenticate. The trade-off with that is, and I've been using it for years, I've never had this problem, is if the password service has an outage or an issue. I don't have that. But when you run into a situation like that, the worst thing that you would do is just reset your password to something manual and then log into it. So for example, if LastPass goes down or isn't inaccessible, I need to get into this application, I know my email address, I know how to get into my email account, I can just do a reset password and then bypass the vault's password and then go and update it later. But if you don't have a vault and you're going to do things manually, here's the things that you should never do when you create a password, and I'll tell you why at the end of it. So we make passwords that are easy to remember. The things that we remember are things about our lives. So we have the most common items that compose a password are pet names, kids' names, spouses' names, dates, anniversaries, wedding dates, divorce dates, birth dates, whatever, the name of children in your home, children in the neighborhood, holidays, favorite sports team, something, et cetera, et cetera. But basically, you're using components of your social life to compose a password. Now, the dangerous thing about this is that there are very open and free tools out there that can take 100 attributes, 100 descriptive words about an individual, and take those and create hundreds of thousands of passwords to attempt against your account. And that's the reality of it. So if you're using a predictive formula to create passwords, knowing a little bit about you, and I can scour Facebook, I can scour Google, and just little bits and pieces, little nuggets of breadcrumbs around the internet from something you posted 5 years ago to something you posted now, I can get your kids' names, where you grew up, the city you lived in, and just build a list of 100 items, and then there's tools out there that'll just create a word list of 100,000, 200,000, 500,000, a million different types of passwords, adding numbers, moving them around backwards, and eventually that's how social engineering, the first step of social engineering works. So when you look at the celebrities or these high class or high public breaches of their, you know, their iCloud account got hacked, the technologies aren't getting breached. The hackers are guessing their passwords by doing social engineering and password composition such as this. So the things that you need to think about when you're manually creating security is use things that are easy to remember, of course, but don't use components of your own life that can be easily mined from elsewhere. The best advice I can give you is to move to passphrases. This might vary based on the system that you use, but use passphrases. So instead of using a word with some numbers on it, it's okay to have a sentence. It's okay to use a lyric from your favorite movie or music. We got to be careful with that too, because passphrases, they'll just take scripts and generate word lists out of movie quotes. But in any case, you can have a 50-character password by the quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog. That could be a password. I wouldn't recommend that one. But my point is that you can have a sentence or a string to compose a phrase, and that phrase is just as easy to remember as password 1234. But the length, the complexity, and the exponential combinations to get out and guess a 50-character password versus an 8-character password is astronomical when you talk about mathematics. And unless they socially fish it or you write it down or get a keylogger, it's near impossible, not impossible, but near impossible, highly improbable, that will ever be forcibly guessed unless you pick something very, very obvious. So move to passphrases. But ultimately, at the end of the day, look at using a vault. Look at the vault creating the passwords for you, because when you go through these types of things, you want to make sure you have password uniqueness across all of your sites. You're not using the same password in multiple places, because if one site gets breached and you're using that password elsewhere, indirectly those other sites get breached too. And in addition to a strong password, the other things that you should be doing on your accounts is enabling two-factor authentication, getting a notification every time somebody logs in with that account, whether it's you or not, and do those types of things to strengthen and enhance the password. If you have a weak password and you have multi-factor enabled, it doesn't allow a user to get completely into your account, but it slows them down if you have bad password etiquette. If you have two-factor authentication available in any services you use, turn it on. Get used to it. I'm hoping it becomes a standard thing going forward. And the password is going to evolve and continually. They keep saying it's going to go away, but it's not going to be for any time soon. It's not going to be for every system for years and years to come. So we still have to have a responsibility to have good password practices and etiquette and remember to do things the proper way. It's a little bit more inconvenient. It's a little bit more difficult. But you got to remember, the cyber criminals out there, the bad actors out there, are just using automated tools. They're not sitting there banging away at one account. They're putting them into automated scripts, automated systems, and hitting millions of accounts at the same time, and then off they go. It's all automated. So don't think that just because you're under the radar, you don't do anything a lot on the internet, you're not a target. Your data is just as valuable to somebody else when it comes to credit card fraud, identity theft, what have you. Security in 5, beware, be safe, pick good passwords. Thanks for listening. This concludes another episode of Security in 5. You can find me on Twitter at Security in 5 or out on Facebook under the Security in 5 Facebook page. Or you can send me a simple email. All my contact information and places to find me are in every show notes of every episode. I love feedback. I love having conversations. If you have any suggestions, corrections, or topics for a future episode, drop me a line. Let me know. I will respond. Security in 5. The more aware you are, the more secure you can be. Beware, be safe, and always, thank you for listening.